D. Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined by ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Louis, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much. So, you were one of Cam Ward's biggest supporters in the lead-up to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
You also said Ward reminds you of Patrick Mahomes in some aspects, which turned a lot of heads around here when you make that comparison. What specifically reminds you of Mahomes when you watch Cam Ward?
Well, it was two things. You know, one, his playing personality reminds me of Patrick, being that Cam has a very short memory. He's super confident in his ability to make every throw. And even when he wasn't successful in making the throws that he wanted to make, it didn't deter him from continuing to fire and continuing to, you know, push the limits of what he is capable of doing. And that's unique. Some people get gun-shy. Some people, when they have some adversity, they don't maintain that same style, that same attitude, that same football character, so to speak. And that doesn't faze Cam. From a stylistic perspective, you see, and I'm going to work backwards, but you see Cam's ability to throw the football off platform, different arm angles, throw it like a baseball player. And when you combine that with the very short memory, that's just what has made Patrick great. That's what has made him someone who you never count him out. You never feel as though there's a throw that can't be made, that a situation that can't be overcome, you know, minus getting his head knocked in because his offensive line can't pass protect, which we saw, you know, no quarterback can overcome. Now, when you work backwards from that, see, the thing is that that's not all who Patrick is, obviously. You know, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson before him, all the people that have tutored him in Kansas City were all, they're all fundamentalists as far as footwork, eyes, progressions, ball placement, taking care of the football, throw the football away when need be. A punt isn't a bad thing, but make defenses defend every blade of grass. Those are all the things that Cam was taught down in Miami, the kind of things that began when he was at Washington State and Incarnate Word. So he has a nice fundamental base underneath him, but he also has the ability to do the kind of things that every scout, every coach can't coach. And that's that ability to make the kind of plays where you just sit there on the sideline, cross your arms and go, damn, that was sweet. And as a fan, you sit there and go, where did that come from? So he has that unique quality. So people kind of got a little up in arms and got a little, you know, beside themselves about the fact that I said, look, he's just going to come into the league being Pat. That's not what I was saying. But stylistically, you can't deny that he has those characteristics. His own GM, Mike Borgonzi, who was in Kansas City with my guy Brett Veach for all those years, he said it too. And it's one of the things that has drawn him to, one of the things that drew him to him. So we'll see if in the end they can build the kind of structure around him that Kansas City had in place for Patrick and has continued to provide Patrick with. Because if you can do that, now you're cooking.
Because our primary focus, Louis, this season will be on the development of Cam Ward, what would you consider a successful rookie season from him? What must you see from him?
Yeah, I think naturally with that question leads to, like, what kind of numbers would you want to see? Look, I'll just say this. I think what you'd want to see is, okay, so a natural progression from his college days at Miami, which leads you to make sure that you are playing as on time and in rhythm as you possibly can, so you're not putting yourself in harm's way, so you're not exposing the ball, so you're not, you know, doing some things in the pocket that you were able to get away with in Miami that you're not going to be able to get away with in the pros, and quite honestly, it could get you on the IR list in a hurry if you do some of those things. So you want to see that. You want to see him being able to see the full field. You want to see him distribute the football effectively. You want to see him be great on third downs and be in the top, you know, the top 10, top 15 in the league on third downs. in 2-minute situations, in the fourth quarter when they're behind, all of those metrics, all of those areas that really you judge quarterbacks truly by, like completion percentage to me, without factoring in difficulty of throws and yards per attempt, doesn't mean anything to me. You want to see the advanced metrics be where he's in the top half of the league. And you want to, and because if you can do that, if he can do that, being a rookie, especially with all the new pieces that they're bringing in there, a lot, all the young wide receivers that they brought in, the new wide receiving core, the offensive line has to take shape. Then, no, I mean, again, you're really, really going. You really are. And it's not impossible. We've seen other guys do this. We saw Jaden Daniels do it. We saw CJ Stroud do it. You can hit the ground running and have people going, damn, I didn't expect that. Now, that may be unfair expectation, but he is the number one overall pick. And I do believe he has that kind of talent. So I think to see those kinds of things, to me, would denote a successful season, and ultimately for his team to be, fighting for sub for a 500 plus record.
Lewis Riddick joining us on the program. Lewis, what are your thoughts on Brian Callahan as a head coach? And do you think he is the right coach to maximize Ward's talents and get out of him all of the things that you were just addressing?
From a personality and demeanor perspective, he is one of the most enjoyable people to talk to of all the guys that we've sat and talked to in my time, doing live games and talking to these guys in production meetings as I've ever talked to. Very even keel, very knowledgeable about the process that it takes in order to build a quarterback from the ground up, manage him during the game, stay in tune with him during the game, getting into situations that help him remain comfortable, giving him some leeway to go ahead and, play outside of the box, help him, decipher what he saw coming off the football field so he can make the, appropriate corrections and then go out there and improve. These are all things that, from my experience with him and from talking to people who have been around him, tell me and lead me to believe that, yeah, he is the right person. He will be able to get that done. Now, there's just a lot that's going to go into Cam's ultimate success failure. Obviously, Brian's a big part of it, but I don't think there's nothing that I've seen from what I've been exposed to with him or with anybody else has told me about him that would lead me to believe that he is not the guy.
We're talking with Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, and over 20 years of NFL experience via player or in upper management. Now, Lewis, I mean, Brian has been, he's been in a situation where this roster isn't as good as it has been in previous years. The last couple of years have been bad for them. Now, upon taking his job and knowing that he's coming into his second year, it's almost like a lame duck situation, so to speak, with him. So what is it outside of, because a lot of this is about development. And I know when you get into it, the records mean a lot for the people here in the city. But what you want to see is a development. And Borgonzi and Brinker talked about that yesterday. I want to know, you've watched this team. Where are they best situated right now? Is it on offense or defense that's going to help their young quarterback?
Well, I think I'll answer it this way, Derek. I think what I'm hoping is that the offensive line, first and foremost, becomes a point of strength for them, to where, for the sake of Cam's development, it's a football team that can do a little bit of both, as far as being able to control the ball on the ground, capture the line of scrimmage, put him in favorable second and third down situations, to where he's not constantly ice skating uphill, where it's second and 9, second and 10, second and 11, He can't play on time. He can't get his feet set. He can't go through progressions, because they've now. I was because if that is solid, okay. Let's just say they're in the top 12 to 14, 14, 15 on in a metric. Like, I don't know, pressure percentage allowed or pass block win rate, whatever advanced metric you want to use. Then he has a shot. Okay, and that is something that I think, that Mike would be very happy with if he could get that kind of production. And they've invested a lot of resources in the offensive line, and it needs to pan out. they need to develop that. And I think everything from there will roll downhill. And that's probably where my eyes are going immediately with this football team. The same way it went there when we're talking about CJ Stroud when he came out. We're talking about Jaden when he was in Washington. Because I think if you can get that, everything else will take care of itself. Cam will do his part. He's going to have some hiccups, but he'll do his part. The wide receiver group here will do their part. It really will. And they have built this wide receiver room in a way that really does, and you know this better than anyone, that it complements one another in terms of you've got different body types, you've got versatile inside outside type guys, you've got catch and run guys, you've got guys who are big and strong who can fight for the football down the field, you've got youth, you've got experience, so you've got a little bit of everything. And so now that's a lot to kind of get to come together. But I think if you can just see that trending the right way, I don't think that this has to be a lame duck season for him in any way, shape, or form, regardless of the fact that he wasn't Mike's coach. And I would hope, and this is one of the things that I think about a lot, and it's hard to do this, but I would hope that the current regime does not automatically just look at him and be looking for reasons to fire him so they can just bring in quote unquote their guy. Because whenever you do that kind of stuff, whenever you just kind of automatically in your head have, this ain't my guy, I'm just looking for my guy. See, first of all, you're already kind of like thinking that you're smarter than you probably really are. And you're thinking you have all the answers when you really don't, because nobody really does. Instead of just taking it as it comes and taking it organically and trusting the fact that, look, the people who were there before him and a lot of other people who weren't even associated with Tennessee would tell you that Coach Callahan is a damn good coach. Okay. And we all know that success and failure is always on a razor's edge in the NFL. And it isn't just on one thing, there are plenty of things that can screw that up. And a lot of times it's the people up top who think they know every damn thing are the ones who are screwing it up. So just let him, give him the resources. Objectively evaluate it, and as if you are seeing progression up front, balance, Cam looks more comfortable, the team is playing a winning style of football. To get to your part about the defense is playing winning football, meaning they're not just getting run through, having time of possession totally out of whack to where you can't even get your young quarterback on the ball, on the field. They're turning the football over at a reasonable rate. Then I think this should be one of those building development seasons to where you go, okay, we've established the foundation. We brought in a lot of new people in here. Let's see what 2026 brings.
Absolutely.
The last thing I'll say is like, look, and like it can happen that way. You know that teams can make quick turnarounds in the NFL because that's the way it's designed. I mean, Washington just did that last year. Now, I know they all came in together, and coach and head coach and general manager were both aligned. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were aligned together. But it can happen. It can happen.
Now, what do you make of the Will Levis situation? How does a organization pivot? Because you've been in upper management, and I'm sure you've seen just about every scenario that happens right before a season. Typically, you don't get a guy opting to have surgery right before the season. That's something that, or right before camp, that's something that they usually do beforehand and everybody knows. But it just seemed like this one came out of the blue, at least to everyone around here that is not a part of the inside. But how do you pivot as an organization when something like that happens?
I think in this case, man, I honestly, Derek, I don't think it's a big deal simply because Cam is there. And the objective analysis of this situation is that, look, Will Levis is not Cam Ward. And honestly, like, I don't know how this decision-making process went as far as him having the surgery now. But I think I would venture to say, like, look, from the time the season ended last year to when they did their off-season evaluations to right up until the point where he decided to have surgery, I would say that pivot has been in place for quite a while. And I know you can say, well, hey, wait a minute. Maybe Will Levis wasn't given a fair shot either. Maybe Will Levis didn't have the kind of situation that any quarterback, young quarterback, could succeed in. Well, maybe not. But I think if you're just comparing them apples to apples as far as prospects are concerned, you know, people always get up in arms about, you know, when you pick one player over another. Look, I like Will Levis. And I know that the previous regime liked Will Levis. I know they thought he had some redeeming qualities. He is not Cam Ward. So I hate the fact that, you know, he's injured. I hate the fact that he wasn't able to, you know, really take advantage of, you know, his situation as a second round quarterback and someone who had opportunities to start and become a solid starter in the NFL. But for me, look, it is what it is, man. You're trying to level up all the time in the league. And Cam is just a better prospect. It's just as simple as that. And how it's come about that he has got this surgery now, or whatever decision, you know, however the timeline worked out, to me, ultimately, once the games kick off, it ain't going to really matter. It's not going to really matter, because I think you know, if you watch Cam in at Miami, you watch him at Washington State, you watch Will at Kentucky, you watch Will's, you know, his time so far in the NFL, you'll see they're on different levels, dude. They're on totally different levels. So that's their job as a front office. That's their job as an organization, to put the best product out there on the field. And Cam Ward gives them the opportunity to have a better product out there on the field.
Louis Riddick from ESPN is with us. Great analysis. One quick follow-up on Levis, and put a GM hat on, Louis.
Yeah. He
goes away for a year, Levis.
Mm-hmm.
We recalibrate the expectation level. Hopefully, mm-hmm. Cam Ward gains his footing. You would still have Levis under contract for a very
sure.
inexpensive yeah. price. Could you see the two coexisting if both parties were comfortable about accepting the role? Could Levis be a viable backup for the Titans when he comes back in a year?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I'm Will Levis, I'm thinking, look, I was dealt kind of a little bit of a raw deal. Like, I didn't get a chance to be in a situation that totally, you know, maximizes my abilities. And I haven't maximized my abilities. And maybe it's time for me to get a fresh start and find a different situation to where I know, you know, maybe I can compete and compete for playing time. He ain't going to compete for playing time in Tennessee. So I don't think he would want that situation. If I were him, I wouldn't want that situation. I'd want to go somewhere else. And that's not because I'm, you know, running from the competition. I mean, I'm just looking for a fresh start in a new place. I wouldn't want to just already, given the short amount of time I've had in the league, just say, well, you know what? I'm happy. I'm a backup. I'll just be a backup. No, I wouldn't do that. There's enough recent examples of guys who've had to move around a few times in order for them to really find their footing, and something clicks to where, and you sit there and you go, damn, where'd that come from? Like, we didn't expect that. After year one, year two, people had already kind of written their career, you know, their career story. And you know that it's just too soon to do that. And for Will, it's too soon to do that. I don't believe he'll be as good as Cam can ultimately be if they were both put in the same situation. But if I were him, I'd be looking to move on. Now, we'll see if Tennessee grants him that, if they look at it the same way. That'll be an interesting one, though.
What one more for you that I didn't feel like got talked about very much from the national perspective at the time, because the whole Shedeur Sanders phenomenon and when was he going to be picked. But what they said afterward, they clearly fell in love with Cam Ward, and they fell in love pretty early.
Yeah.
With him, and they decided, no matter what the offers would be coming in for a trade, that if we feel like he's the guy, we're going to take him at number one, despite the yeah. fact that a lot of evaluators had him as, I don't know, somewhere the sixth, the eighth best overall prospect in the draft, maybe not a slam dunk first overall pick. When yeah. we heard what the Giants reportedly offered, which would be take the third pick in the draft this year, the Giants' first-round pick next year, and then some of the other things thrown in. We had a really good debate on what was the right move. So
yep.
when you look at that and you're looking at where the Titans roster is right now, how tough a decision would that have been for you?
I would have done the same thing that Mike did. and the powers that be in Tennessee didn't. And I would have thought about it, obviously, because you always feel as a team builder, you're thinking, look, the more assets I have, the more draft assets, draft capital that I have, the better chances I have of like being able to ultimately maybe build this thing into a super powerhouse. So if I can move down two spots and gain an extra one and some other draft capital and, you know, I don't know, find some other way to kind of address this situation at the quarterback position, whether that be with, if I thought, you know, if the, whether that be with Shador or be with a Jackson Dart or be with a Tyler Shuck or whoever it is, or Dylan Gabriel, whoever it is, although you wouldn't have drafted any of those guys probably that high. There's some temptation for front office people to do that. But, you know, see, the cool thing about football and about the draft and about evaluation is that it is so subjective. It really is. And quarterback evaluation in particular is very subjective. And we've seen that over the years. And one person can look at five, six games at a player and be like, you know what, that guy's a surefire franchise quarterback. And other people can look at him and go, he's a backup, maybe. One guy can look at a guy's arm and go, that's great arm strength. Other people go, damn, he can't throw that ball at all. And you know what? You know that, who that leads you to? It leads you to Shador Sanders. You heard the whole range of that on this guy. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you heard people say, well, he doesn't have an NFL caliber arm. And I can pull up 20 throws of him ripping the ball on a rope on the move, plus 25 air yards down the field, fitting it into a box. And people would still go, nah, that's not good enough. It's like, well, what the hell? What are you talking about? It's not good enough. It's right there. What do you mean it's not good enough? And see, personal biases come into it. Personalities come into it. All of that stuff comes into this. And it came into it this year. It just did. Now, getting back to Cam Ward, the good thing for me is I got a chance to see this guy three times over the past 2 years live and talk to two different staffs about him and go to his pro day. So I got about as much information as scouts got on the guy, okay? And talk to his mom and dad, everybody. I would have taken him. It would have been like, yo, you're going to have to give me all your picks. You're going to have to give me a Mike Ditka-style type draft haul in order for me to move off of this. Because the kid is nothing but he's all football. He's no nonsense. He's an alpha, no leader. And he's got exquisite physical skills for the quarterback position. Is he Jaden? Is he Lamar in terms of running stop? No. But you know what? He don't need to be. Is he Patrick-esque in terms of the way he can run? Yeah, he is. He can run just enough. And you know what? In the playoffs, how many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes and you're sitting there going, damn, Patrick runs better than I thought. It may not look pretty all the time, but he sure is getting that ball down the field. And that's the same thing with Cam. And see, I just love the guy. I love the no-nonsense guy. Because he is not about all that other crap, man. He is not. And he is not someone who will not be intimidated by anyone, vet or rookie, anyone. And the guys down there, I heard Jeffrey Simmons already talking about it. They're talking and chirping at him from one of the first times they got exposed to him. And he's chirping right back. And Callahan's talking about the fact that he's sitting there thinking, damn, does this guy even hear what I'm saying to him? Because he's over there chirping at these dudes. And he's a rookie. And he's playing quarterback. He's different. So, yeah, I can see why they fell in love with him. And I know down at that pro day, when he made that one big throw where he was rolling left on the sideline, I think Bergonzi and them were standing over there, and he ripped the ball probably about 45, 50 yards in the air. I know I can picture that moment and them going, that's our dude, if they hadn't already thought that anyway. So, yeah, would you have been tempted? Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of people who are going to say this too. Well, look at the 2026 draft. Look who's coming out. Look at Lenora Sellers down in South Carolina, Drew Aller. Look at these guys. Carson Beck down in Miami again. Like, hey, man, you know, Arch Manning may be coming out. You don't know how the hell those guys are going to be this year. You don't know how that's going to look. You don't know if you're even going to be in position to draft one of them. Take the one. If you believe it, do it. Mike believed it. I would have believed it too. I would have taken.
Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Louis, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy training camp season.
You bet, man. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Louis Riddick on the program. Passionate.
That's good stuff.
Yes, about Cam Ward. We will react to what Louis Riddick had to say. Coming up next, you can as well, at 615-737-1025. Speaking of Titans training camp, tune in for player interviews and the latest updates on the Titans training camp season as the team prepares for the 2025 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group.